Bueno. There is a sea called the Sea of Galilee in the Lord's land. And the Sea of Galilee is a sea that's full of life. It's teeming with life and fish, wildlife all around it. It's beautiful, crystal clear water. It's a beautiful place. And in the same area, there is another sea. It's called the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is exactly what it's called. It's dead. It's totally dead. It has no life in it whatsoever. The thing that God showed me that I found was so amazing is that they both receive the same water. There is a river there called the River Jordan, which means River of Life. And it flows down and into the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee drinks of this water, and then the Sea of Galilee gives this water up. And it goes into the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea doesn't share it. It holds it to itself. And it dies. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, I don't want to talk about religion. It's private." Huh? If they're not dead, they will be. See? When God gives you a thing, He pours it in. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by the what?
Word of God.
Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of Richard.
Wrong.
By the word of Ricky.
Wrong.
John Doe.
No.
God.
Yes.
Amen. Only God. Doesn't matter what I say. Well, who am I? I'm no better than you are. I just know something that some of you don't know. You know, it's as simple as that. It doesn't make me better. It doesn't make you worse. Some of you know some things I don't know. Amen? Doesn't make you better than me. But I just happen to know the few things that God has given me, that He has given to me and shared with me about Jesus Christ and His gospel and Him crucified and what that means for me and for you. And that if we are walking in His kingdom, as I said the other night, there are three kingdoms you can live in. Kingdom of God, in which God is sovereign.
Amen.
And that makes you His servant. The kingdom of the world, which means Satan is sovereign, and you are his servant. Or the kingdom of self, which makes you stupid.
Amen.
Because it really means you ain't sovereign at all. You're in the world, and Satan is still your sovereign, but you just don't know it.
Amen.
So in reality, there are only two kingdoms. The other is just self-esteem. It's illusionary. And I chose to walk in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, I have all power and all authority because my Father has given it to me. It's just like I did with the lighter the other day. If you got the lighter, you can light it. Amen?
Amen.
If you ain't got the lighter, you can't light it. That's simple. And it was funny. Some of you weren't here when I did that, but I got a lighter from Paul, and I held it up, lit the lighter. I said, "How many in here can light the lighter?" And a bunch of people raised their hands, you know. I said, "Fine, show me." And put it in my pocket. See, we don't think. We don't think. Who's sick in here? Who needs a healing in here? Charlie? Come on up here. Take that off. You want to get rid of that diabetes?
Stomach and cholesterol. All of them.
You ready to believe?
Amen. Lord, help my unbelief.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're ready to stop being your own God and let Jesus be God. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, so be it.
Praise.
I rebuke that sugar diabetes. Command those receptors to start working.
Yes.
The sugar levels to come in line.
Yes.
That hernia or whatever that is in your throat to be taken care of.
Yes.
Or stomach, whatever that is in there somewhere. Lord, just heal him in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 How many want to believe with him? If you want to believe with him, say praise God.
Praise God.
You know, that's another nice thing about church. Church is to love one another and to believe for one another. Do you know I don't have perfect faith for me? I can pray for you to be healed. And I have all the faith in the world God will heal you. He has shown it to me too many times. I have seen it too many times to doubt him. But when it comes to me, I don't have near as much faith for me as I do for you. You know why? Because I know me. I know me. You see, you don't know me. I come in here and I wear a suit. Yes, the Lord's with me. Yes, the anointing's with me. And I come in here and I talk and I love you and I tell you about Jesus. But I live with me. That's why I said when I came in here the first night, I do what the preacher schools tell you don't do. I tell you right off the bat, I'm a sinner. If you don't like it, you might as well go home. Because I'm a sinner. And I'm not supposed to say that. But it's the truth. See, I don't want you to believe in Richard. I don't want you to believe in Brother Davey. That's what some people call me. I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. You see, if Jimmy Swaggart had kept that in mind, when he fell, nobody would have lost their faith. Bunch of people came to me after his fall. Said, "Oh, Brother Richard," he said, "oh, I just feel so bad. I lost my faith." Well, my goodness, where'd you put it? What happened to it? "Oh, I don't know, but when Jimmy Swaggart fell, I just lost my faith." And I said, "Well, praise God for that."
Amen.
What? I said, if your faith had been in Jesus, no one could make you lose it.
Amen.
No one. I was telling... Who was it? You, Ricky Baldwin, one day? He was all worried about whether or not he'd do something wrong. And I told him, "Ricky, there is nothing you can do and nothing you can say that can cause anyone to go to hell."
Amen.
Not anything you can do. Because if people are believing on you, they're going to hell anyway. Huh?
Amen.
But if they're believing on Jesus, then what's it to them? I mean, they'll love you if you fall. They'll love you if you stand. If you fall down, they'll pick you up, throw some soap on you, and pray for you and say, "Come on, let's try it again." If they love Jesus.
Amen.
Because they know that they could do the same thing. We got to realize, don't take yourself so serious. Take Jesus serious.
Amen.
And remember the word. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
And when you read that, you've got to come to a decision. You've got to come to a decision. Is he telling the truth or is he lying? And if he's lying, why bother with him? But I have learned that he's telling the truth because, folks, I've seen the power of God to raise the dead.
Amen.
And if I've seen the power of God to raise the dead, what's a little arthritis?
Amen.
What's a little more migraine? What's any of this stuff? It is Satan's lie to deceive you into getting you not to believe God. But God wants you to know of his love and his power. Amen?
Amen.
Play me a song, boy. plenty of some I'm going to like.
You'll like this one.
Now, I better be the right one.
Jesus loves me. Little one, hear me, Lord. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Wants to get rid of that arthritis.
Amen.
Who's in favor for that?
Amen.
Amen.
This looks like it's going to be a night for arthritis too, doesn't it? Jesus said we have power to tread on serpents, scorpions, all the power of the enemy, and nothing can harm us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, arthritis is a power of the enemy. It's a demonic spirit, and I love to hear their bones crunch.
Amen.
I love it. You know, it's just little crunchy crunchies when you step on them. So, Greg, I haven't asked you if you have faith, have I?
Yes. No, you haven't.
Yeah. So I haven't asked you if you had faith, and I'm not going to ask you if you have faith, because the Lord has impressed it upon me not to. I'm just going to tell you that you're going to be delivered of that arthritis.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, right now, I rebuke the arthritis and command it to leave.
Jesus.
Amen. Now move around and tell me how you're feeling. All right, will you let me know tomorrow? Praise God. Keep him in prayer. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise.
You weren't here, Greg, when Paul gave his testimony how when I met him 5 years ago, he had arthritis in every joint and all through his body and everything. It was very painful for him to move and everything. And one day I noticed him in pain. And I asked him what was wrong, and he told me. I just smacked him to rebuke that arthritis in Jesus' name, and he was healed. Now, he's a little slow. See, he's slow. I know you're not, because I've known you for a while, and I've talked to you. But this guy was a little slow. Now, he knew the knee stopped hurting, but he didn't realize the rest of it was gone for a few months. And then one day he just realized, wait a minute, it's gone. But you'll know, it cannot stay. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the job of the church is to lift one another up. See? And every time I pray for a person, the Lord puts them in my mind and puts them in my heart. And I'll be back in that trailer or back on the road or something, and every now and then a face will pop up and I'll pray for them. And I'll find out later on why. So look around and pray for one another. Keep each other in prayer. Amen? All right, now, we've had some new people come in. And I want to say a thing. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what. I don't carry a watch on me, so I don't worry about that. Like I said the other day, they said the meetings were from 7 to 9, and I just said they're 7 till done. Amen?
Amen.
We don't take up an offering. Most evangelists and tents go out and they take up offerings and they spend 2 hours taking up an offering. We don't do that. We do ask that if you take one of these brochures and read about us, if you'll support us, we'd appreciate it so that we can take this tent out to other places. We do have baskets. If the Lord puts it on your heart to help out, we'd appreciate it. We really would, and I know God will bless you for it. But I'm not here to raise money. I'm here to give,
Amen.
Not take. I'm here to give you the gospel, and I'm here to give you the word of God. If you want to help me do that, praise be to God. Isn't that simple?
Amen.
That way we don't have to do an hour and a half of taking up offerings. Hallelujah. And if Scott ever tells somebody they can't do it again, I'm going to whoop up on him. The love of the Lord said, praise God.
Praise God.
Come on, give me something.
Amen.
Glory unto you, Lord.
Now, I'll tell you what. If anybody here doesn't believe in miracles, there's a miracle.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell it every night. Because, see, healing is great. I love to see healing. Deliverance is wonderful. I love to see deliverance. I even like to see people raised from the dead. I was in a meeting one time when a guy had a heart attack. And he died. And Brother Hall was in the meeting, and he went up there and prayed over the man, and he just laid there. So Hall said, drag him and put him out behind a platform. And they, you know, people thought that was terrible. And he just dragged him over and put him behind the platform. And Hall went on preaching. Somebody said, well, what about him? He said, don't worry about him. He's either going to get up and sing praises or he's with Jesus. It doesn't matter one way or the other, but I've got something important to say. A little bit later, here the guy comes walking in. It was raining out there, and he didn't like that rain on him. After H. Richard Hall had prayed for the man, he was feeling good laying there. He didn't want to move. That rain got him up, though. But you see, more important than anything else, the greatest miracle of all is when somebody comes to know Jesus.
Amen.
And 7 years ago, I told Scott Stevens that he was not only going to be a Christian, that he would be a part of this ministry, and he would become a minister. And what were your words?
Never.
And when he said never, I knew I had him.
Amen.
I knew I had him. And God is faithful.
Amen.
God's faithful. If I could get you to see that. Some people say, well, I want it right now. Well, you've had too much McDonald's and Burger King. Me, I don't like McDonald's and Burger King. I like a nice sit-down dinner with real silverware and real plates. You know, the kind of dinner that takes a little while to cook. Because that real fast stuff, you know, it's not that good. I've seen, you know, a lot of preachers, they'll have an altar call 10 times, you know, every time. The same old people come up to the altar. I very seldom have an altar call. I have an altar call when God tells me to. Most of the time I don't. Because, see, Jesus said, don't be as the hypocrites. Don't pray in public where everybody's going to see you. Go home and get in your closet and pray in secret. And then your heavenly Father who heareth you in secret will reward you openly.
Amen.
See? So most of my prayer is done in the closet. You notice I don't do a lot of praying in here. Somebody got upset with me one night in church because I didn't pray for the Lord to send His Spirit in and come down and guide and direct and teach. And I turned to the man and I said, sir, I want to tell you something. When I walked in this place, the Holy Spirit walked in with me. And when I leave, He's going to leave with me.
Amen.
I don't have to invite Him. He's already here.
Amen.
He is within me, He is on me, and praise God, He said He would never leave me.
Amen.
And if I had to pray for Him to be here, then that's unbelief. That's unbelief. Can you imagine if you had a child, and your child said, Mommy, can I go to the candy store? And you said, yes. And a minute later, Mommy, can I go to the candy store? Yes. Mommy, can I go to the candy store? How many times is it going to be before finally you say no? If you can't believe me the first time, you don't need it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, where do you think you learned that?
It comes from God. God wants you to be the type of children that when you ask Him for a thing, you believe He's going to give it and trust Him for it. So 7 years ago, I asked God for Scott. I saw something there. And I liked what I saw. And I said, Lord, I want him. And the Lord said, he's yours. So I told Scott. Scott said, he, you know, that was the craziest thing he ever heard. But see, he didn't know my God. He didn't understand I cheat. I set God, the Holy Angels, and the Holy Ghost on him. He didn't have a chance.
Amen.
And finally, God finally got really got your attention over that stomach thing or whatever it was you had. Tell them about you a little bit. Don't take an hour, just a little bit.
Well, I know. It's just like him to say that, you know.
Most of us know how you like to talk.
Everybody knows how I like to talk. Everybody that's heard me on the radio knows how I like to talk. But believe it or not, I'm not real thrilled about using a microphone. I'm loud enough so that my friends and neighbors know, you know, that they're going to hear me one way or another, whether they want to or not. And it's funny when Steve, who, of course, studies the Word day in and day out. Steve's a lawyer. Right, Steve? I won't tell anybody but the people in the tabernacle because, really, being a lawyer, I mean, when he came and ministered to my wife and I and brought the Word with him, the Word of God, I am, the Holy Scripture, it was interesting in that he came down. He didn't ask for any money. We were friends because I had done some satellite radio programming with Richard and these folks. They had the radio station up there. And when Steve came down and started to minister to me, it was right around the time I was starting the radio program that I'm doing now. And I had worked for years to become a mainstream local radio host. I want to talk about freedom and liberty and how freedom and liberty is being destroyed in the United States of America. That was my mission, to do that. And I spent many, many years and expended a lot of money and time and effort in doing that. Richard and the ministry allowed me to do that on satellite radio for some period of time. Greg was a part of that whole experience. Kurt, my good friend and brother Kurt, and his wife Diana, and have always been supportive. And when Steve came down and brought the Word of God with him, I really was not terribly pleased about it, but I said, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I had been reading the Bible for a long time. I met one guy after another, said they were men of God. And they brought the Bible with them, and they put the Bible on the table, and they read it, and they showed me the words, and I saw the words, and they didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know what the words meant. I don't know why that was. But what Richard said is the reason. Because the Word of God has to be digested with faith. I just didn't believe God. Didn't believe Him. Because I thought I was God. I figured that I could do everything better than everybody else. There's nothing in my life I haven't mastered. There's nothing I haven't tried to do that I couldn't do better than anybody I knew. And then Steve, with patience, delivered the Word to my wife and I and a few brothers and sisters over at the house. And little by little, I began to get faith. Before I had the faith, I had this stomach problem. Digestion. So I was told. I didn't believe these. I said, what about that digestion? I had never had a stomach problem in my whole life. I can eat rotten eggs out of mud puddles, and nothing makes me sick. You know, my stomach is like, I got a lot of other things that go along with me on occasion, but that isn't one of them. And, you know, so I testified to Steve. I says, man, I go to the radio. I'm going to do the radio show Saturday. I go to the radio studio and try and run these boards and do all these different things. And, man, I got cramps. I don't know whether I'm going to go to the bathroom or I'm not going to go to the bathroom. Sometimes it's 3 days. Sometimes I go for 3 days. Honest to God. So I go to the doctor. I go to the doctor. And, you know, this may be embarrassing to some people. It is. I'm sorry for that. But the Lord gives me these things to say, and I just go on and on. So I'm going to go. I go to the doctor. And he gets, you know, one of them barium enemas. I don't know if anybody ever had one, but man, I tell you, not a lot of fun. But I didn't believe him. I said, I went to Steve Wright, I told you, I didn't believe that that was what was causing it. So I had to go to the doctor yet again and drink the barium next time. They turn you upside down.
Well, see, you haven't told him what it was you didn't believe.
The Word of God.
And that I said that you would not be over it until you submitted to the Word of God and believed it.
And that is true. And little, you know, the thing is, faith is a funny thing. And I remember I shared this with Steve. The mustard seed knows where the sun is. And faith, like a mustard seed, will find that sun. The sun, the I am.
Amen.
And I believed a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the Scripture started to open up to me. I started to see things in the Scripture that I never would have imagined were possible. I read things and said, wow, isn't that cool? And then all of a sudden, I was finishing my home at the same time, and I had gotten into taking pills for pain that I had. And when I was a kid, I had a big problem with drugs and alcohol. Most people in town don't know that. My good friends do. But I had a problem with drugs and alcohol. I was taking a lot of pills while I was finishing the house. And little by little, I started to like them a little better than I ought to. And at the same time this was all going on, I got this digestive problem. I got the radio show going on. All the things I wanted to do forever, this radio show, that was really something that mattered to me. And I was sitting in my car at work, and I was asking God. Now, see, that's another thing. When you ask God for a thing, it tells him you believe him, because if you ask him, you think he is there. And that's another thing that I figured out. God's simple. He's not as complicated as I am. I said, God, what am I going to do about these pills that I'm taking? And I knew what the answer. That's the other thing. Usually, God has an answer on your heart already before he answers. But people that think the Lord don't talk to anybody, or that you can't hear him or see him or know him personally in your life, not true. The Lord showed me the nail going through his hand. And he said, does it hurt this much? And I understood the nature of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The nature of the power of God and the redemption that he purchased for me in that instant was delivered to me in a way that I got it. That I got it. And my friends, you know, oh, this guy's going off the deep end. He's dealing with all these crazy Christian people. And all of a sudden, I was on fire for Jesus Christ. And that's where I am. My wife and I, we spend 2 or 3 hours a day reading the Bible. And we don't know what's happening with the time. And we find more and more that the blessings that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ make all of the other things that we were trying to do before irrelevant. Because, what does it say? You know the scripture. Tell me it. Your favorite scripture? Nope, that ain't the one. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world. And I know that when Jesus Christ is in the life of the people, in this country, in this world, Satan, the power and the principality behind the wickedness that rules this world, will be vanished.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen. Give the Lord a cheer.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
And he said he would never preach. Scott, you know how I learned that scripture? I was going through a real rough time. I was about 27, 28 years old. And I was going through a real rough time. And I was sitting in my chair, and I had my Bible, and I was crying and moaning and groaning and complaining. I know none of you have ever done that. I mean, you know, this is just a few of us freakos, you know, complain, God, why do you let this happen? Why do you let that happen? You know, I'm going on. And the weirdest thing, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Richard, what are you doing? I've been talking to you all this time, and you don't know? He said, how are you doing? And now I kind of felt bad because of my smart mouth, so I said, well, Lord, I guess I'm okay under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? And that was it. He never said another word. And I scratched my head, and I wandered, and I wandered, and I went and picked up a Bible, and there it was. And I realized, if I'm in Jesus, if He's overcome the world, I could be on a part of His heel, and I too have overcome the world.
Amen.
You see, I want this country turned around. And for 5 years, I spent a lot of money. A lot of money. And a lot of other people's money. To try to get a message out in this country to turn the world around. To turn this country around. And God used that time to teach me an awful lot. But the main thing He taught me, the government is a reflection of the church.
Amen.
The government is the reflection of the church. See, there was always something that bothered me with the Patriot Movement. And I never could really put my finger on it. I consider myself a patriot. I love this country. But I have a greater country that I serve.
Amen.
But there was something that bothered me, and I all of a sudden, one day, I realized it. The Patriot Movement was full of anarchists. You know what an anarchist is? An anarchist is a sovereign that says, nobody's going to tell them what to do. I'm going to do whatever I want. Anarchy is not of God.
Amen.
The Bible says very clearly, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And that's what made up most of the Patriot Movement. And that's when I realized they didn't have the right answer. They wanted the right thing. And that is a godly country that wants to serve God and do right by its people. But I also found that God gives us a government after our own hearts. He gives us leaders after our hearts. And I couldn't figure that out in the church. I mean, I couldn't figure it out. But then one day the Lord showed it to me. Most of the churches in America, and this has been going down since 1933, is actually since the 60s is when it really started. But most of the churches in America today are incorporated. Now, let me show you a thing. Would you agree with me that the creator of a thing is the God of a thing? He that can create something out of nothing is the God of that thing? What creates the corporation? The state. The executive branch of the state. And who's the head of the executive branch? The federal branch. The executive branch and the federal. That makes Bill Clinton the head of every corporate church in America. And you wonder why this country's in a bad place? If we can get the churches right, if we can get the pastors right, if we can get the people in the churches back to where they believe God and serve God and walk with God and love one another and walk in the power of God, Satan ain't going to have a chance in this country.
Amen.
Give me some traveling music.